because when you get older, it's harder.
Richard, wasn't he?
No.
Oh, he wasn't here.
His brother-in-law. Okay, we're still in Sugya 4. We're on the issue, is there a concept of muad for tsroros or not? That's the question. If the animal's kicking at three times, he kicks up pebbles, does he become a muad or not? And the shaila is, do we compare, has the halacha l'moshe misinai compared it to a keren tam, and therefore its payment schedule works like a keren tam, or no? We really say it's a muad all along, but a muad has an exception all along. We want to bring a brisa, proof from one brisa with the dancing chickens, and we said there's no proof from there. Then we want to bring a proof from an argument of Amorayim, and we said there's no proof over there. And now we're bringing the third possible answer from Rami Bar Yecheskel. And that's where we're about to start in the Gemara. Give me one second. In the Gemara. We are 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. Yud Ches Amud Beis. 18b, your last page here. You don't have your iPad today, huh?
I didn't think to.
Where's your phone?
Okay.
That's even smaller.
Okay, Tashma. Okay, we're going to have a brisa and then something that argues on the brisa. Ditani Rami Bar Yecheskel. Rami Bar Yecheskel taught a brisa. Here's an intriguing case. Tarnigol shahoshit rosho laavir kli zchuchis. A rooster extends its head into the space of a glass vessel. Got this glass utensil, and the rooster sticks its head into the glass vessel. You're wondering why?
That must be unusual. That's an unusual.
We may have done it. We may have done it once.
Yeah. Rambam.
But yeah, it's probably the Rambam. Now, and then what happened? Vitakabo, he shrieked, he clucked, he made cuckadoodled in it, and Vishavra, and he breaks it.
From the fight,
from the noise.
From the noise.
Wow. He hit the
right at the bottom of 18B, guys. Okay, so now, what kind of damage is that? How are you going to identify that damage? What category is that?
Tsroros,
for sure. Because it's coming out from the force of what he did. So he says, Mishalim Nezik Shalim. You pay the full amount. You pay the full amount. Okay, we'll have to understand, why does he say you pay the full amount? But just hang on. So this is bringing a brisa. Then we also have another statement. Vamar Rav Yosef Imri Be'Rav. And Rav Yosef said, they said in the academy of Rav. Now Rav, although he was an Amora, but we give him special... We give him special privileges, and he's an Amora who is allowed to argue on Tanoim. He's given such a special status. And what does he say? Seemingly a different case, but still arguing on this concept. What's going on over here? Sus, come on. Sus shitsanaf. If a horse neighs, vechamor shenir, or a donkey who brays, and it makes a high-pitched noise, the Shiver Esakeim, and also breaks utensils through its voice. Okay, again, it's a case of Tsroros. He says, on the other hand, Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. He pays half Nezek, because again, it's not from his body, but it's from the vibrations that are generated from the noise that they make. Okay, so we see there's a Machlokes again. In similar situations over here. So now, what would be the machlokes? Now, so the Gemara wants to assume, my love, let's assume, can go into Ovid Talsa Zimna. It's a case where the animal has done this three times. And now it's done it three times, and this is the machlokes that it's based on. Now we're going to shift to the next page, 19a.
We think the rooster did it three times, so he pays the toll, or no?
Yeah, both of them. That's the machlokas. The rooster three times shrieked into the glass, and the horse and the donkey brayed, neighed three times, and that's this machlokes. Let's look at it, right? Now, it's, so saying it has to be three times. Other word, and here's the point, because if otherwise, then what's the purpose of his statement? Mm-hmm. All you're really doing is reiterating the laws of Tsroros. Right? That, in other words, you must be speaking about something over here, right? So, so that's why they assume that's what he's talking about. To which, and this is what he's saying. Mar sover yesha ada. One says you can make a mu'ud after three times. Umar sover ain ada. Then you don't have it after three times. Let's say that's a machlokas. So again, we can prove that it's a machlokas. You have a shaila and we'll prove it's a machlokas over here. So again, the Gemara says, nothing doing. Well, who says that's the case? It could be b'chad zimna, it's one time, we'll prove to the simchas of Rabbanan Kamivli. They're arguing according to Simcha and the Rabbanan. And therefore, you know, each one is following a different opinion. Following a different opinion. So again, there's no proof. Wait a minute. This whole thing doesn't make any sense. Because what's going on over here? You want him to pay a Tsroros, but would you say this is a typical example or not a typical example of damage? Gemara asks, Vaham Mishune, this is very abnormal for a rooster to stick its head into a vessel and shriek. So therefore, it would be a case of Karen Tom, and even the rabbi says you pay the full amount, you say you pay half amount, because it should be no different than Karen Tom. It's an unusual thing. Why are you calling it Tsroros? More answers, no. The Ace Bay Barzani, there are seeds in the vessel. In other words, if there's little seeds in a glass utensil, it's very usual for a rooster to go pecking and eating the seeds. If there's food over there, once its head's inside, okay, it's not abnormal for it to shriek. And therefore, we have no, therefore it's okay to say that they're arguing this area.
I just want to say, so are we saying that if something is Tsroros, but it's unusual, therefore it's not Tsroros?
Well, then we should at least treat it like
Tom?
Treat it like Karen Tom.
Yeah?
Because it's unusual. Uh-huh. It's unusual. So now, so this is the end of this sugya. So how does this sugya conclude? Well, obviously the resolutions are, which we'll send you. So Rava Shaila, again, is unresolved if there's Muad for Tsroros or not. It's unresolved. But we've also added on a few other halachas that have come into this discussion. Remember, yes, we talk about an animal dropping dung into dough if it had no other place to excrete. Or we've learned today a chicken sticking its head into a glass vessel that has seeds in it and it breaks because of its cockadoodling. Or if a horse and a donkey neighed and brayed and broke kalim. These will all, we now have learned, are all cases of tsroros. Where again, it depends on the machlokas of Sumchas and the Rabbanan. So we have a number of cases from the last thing this year, at least six or seven cases that are all types of cases of Tsroros type of case, would all depend on the machlokas of Sumchas and the Rabbanan. And the Shaila is unresolved. In terms of what the halacha is, it would appear that it's not, there's no mu'ud for the simple reason Shulchan Aruch never discusses it. In other words, Shulchan Aruch does not say, you know, if it did it three times, it pays full damage. It doesn't say if it pays three times, only pays half, does pay full, doesn't say anything. But by the virtue of fact, doesn't say anything, it would appear that, you know, three times doesn't do anything to change anything for even to discuss it. So look in the back of my Gemara, it doesn't even bring it down. Shulchan Aruch talking about it. So it seemed that it remains, that there's no such thing as it switching over. So we see now, according to the Rabbanan, it's all according to the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, it comes out, you're always paying half. You pay half, we learned from the last halacha, from the best, and you're paying half does not seem to increase after you do it more than three times. Okay, now we move on to the next sugya. Sugya number five is a brief sugya. Simple question and answer. However, it's not so simple, the Gemara's suggestion of a proof is very not simple, and we're gonna struggle a little with this. Very short sugya, but a very large amount of struggling. Okay, let's take a look and continue now in the Gemara. Gemara asks another Shaila now. This one is brought to you courtesy of Ravashi. Boy Ravashi. Okay, continuing discussion over here with Tsroros. We're not done with Tsroros. But now, let's discuss the following. let's say, we know Soros pays half. Let's say, and this is the case coming up, Yesh Shinui Litzroros L'Revia Nezek, is there a concept, if the Tzroros was done in an unusual fashion, do you pay not half, but a quarter of the damages? Oh, Ein Shinui Litzroros L'Revia Nezek. Or is there no concept of abnormality for Tzroros that makes you pay a quarter of the damages? In other words, what would be the case? Let's say, for example, an animal kicks its foot. Now, normal sources, it's walking. Normal walking, in the normal process of walking, it kicks up some stones. That's classic sources. Well, the animal, well, let's say, for example, the animal kicks and damages with kicking. What did we say that law is? Regular kicking and damaging, that's called what? Karen.
Karen.
Because it's unusual for an animal to kick. It's unusual. Animals just go ahead and kick something and breaks it. Straight kick. That's Karen. And if it's Tom, it pays half. Karen, Tom pays half. Here we have the animal kicks a stone or any item. And the animal goes flying. And now it breaks something that it hits. So the animal kicks a stone maliciously. The stone goes flying and breaks utensil. It's Soros, but with one difference. It starts off not in the normal course of walking, but rather it is what? Part of malicious Karen Tom. Well, so the question is, it is Soros. It is Soros, because it's not its direct force hitting it. It's the coming from the impetus, right? However, it is a malicious Soros. So the question is, do we say like this? We say, well, Tzroros, normal Tzroros is half. Well, what do we know about normal Karen? Karen pays half. But here, if the most you could ever pay, let's get it straight. By normal Karen, right, you've damaged something. What if the animal, instead of kicking something, would have stepped all over it? You'd pay the full amount. The fact he kicked it, all of a sudden it becomes half, because it became unusual. Same animal. The animal just walks over a utensil and breaks it, pays full. Kicks it, pays half. Even though he did it with his regal, but that's already called Karen Tom. So now, maybe, so we see that maliciousness brings it down half. So if Tzroros at best is half, so what if a malicious Tzroros happens? It'll be a half and a half.
Tzroros Tom.
Yes, Tzroros Karen Tom. And that becomes a quarter. Okay? Now, obviously, it's only a shiloh in the rabbis who say you're only paying half damages. Right? Because it go down to a quarter. Okay? On the other hand, would say, no, it doesn't. You can't further reduce it. Why? Because there's nowhere in the Torah an idea of paying a quarter. Torah says, whole, half, finished. We see nowhere in the Torah where you pay a quarter. So let's just say, Tzroros is, again, remember, since Tzroros is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, you can do whatever you want with it, as it were. So Tzroros pays half, and could be part of the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai says, listen, you're always going to pay half by Tzroros, no matter what's going on over there. And therefore you pay half damages, and that's all. That is the Shiloh over here. It's a reasonable Shiloh.
This only applies to animals. If a kid did it or something.
Oh, human beings, there's a different story. Human beings, different story. We're muads forever. It's only a question of grumma. If you pay, you don't pay. There's no such thing as half payments by humans. Right? No matter how malicious we are, we don't fit into that category. This is a Shiloh. Okay, the suggested answer is extremely difficult, and I'm really not comfortable with it. But, you know, I'll say it, but I don't understand it.
What hope is there for us?
I'm just saying. It's like, I looked at my notes. It's just very challenging. All right. Anyway, so they want to prove it. How are they going to prove it? And it's a very brief statement of the Gemara, and the commentaries are grappling like crazy to figure it out. Gemara says, "Well, let's say Tivsha led me to Rava. Let's prove it from Rava." Because we just had a Shiloh and Rava. Rava just had a Shiloh. And it looks like Rava, based on his Shiloh, we would know where he's coming from. What did we just discuss? The boy Rava. Rava just had a Shiloh. Yesh ha'adalit tzraras, ha'ein adalit tzraras. He just had a Shiloh. is there muad by Tsroros or not? We just had this shayla. He didn't know the answer. But yet he was suggesting that you can move it up from a half to a whole, or maybe no, it stays at the half. Gemara is going to say, based on the fact that he had this shayla and he didn't resolve it, from here we could prove our shayla. How is that? Michlal, that implies the ein shinui, that there's no provision for changing things for abnormalities. That's what Gemara is assuming. He's saying, you know, it's assumed that there's no provision for abnormalities. In other words, if there is a shayla, and if a person pays only a quarter damages for abnormal tzoras, then there'd be no question that he pays only half damages. Okay, that's according, if you know which according prior to Rashi. See, we have to say it like this, and remember there's two pshatim in Rashi, the one that we don't understand, again, the other one. So, again, we're talking about normal tzoras. So he says, now, going back to that shayla, what's the reason to consider that you pay the full damage for normal tzoras that become muad? Remember he says, is it a muad or not by tzoras? What's the sfora to say it becomes muad? Because it's like it pays as a keren tam. It's like a keren tam. As we're saying, the payment fits like keren tam. That's one side of the shayla. But wait a minute. If that's the case, if it fits like keren tam, you never find by keren tam a quarter. Right? If you want to maintain, remember, is there muad by tzroras? Mean to say, do we say tzroras is tzroras, it pays the half, I don't know anything about keren tam, it doesn't fit according to the rules of keren tam. We say, no, it fits according to the rules of keren tam. And you see, it can move from a half to more than that. Right? So it's a muad that it has a keren tam payment. According to that reason, we would never reduce it to down to a quarter, because that half payment of the tzoras already is a keren tam aspect. That's what he's saying. If you're calling it like keren tam, that it can go from a quarter to half, you know, there's no reason to say it should go to less than that. To which I don't understand. If it's like keren tam, why couldn't it go to less than half than that? But that's the proof that they want to say. He said, I'm looking right at what the article said. I'm reading it and looking at it. It still doesn't make any sense.
Which point?
You're looking at, it's on footnote 7, but the second paragraph. He says, Pnei Yeshua suggests a way to explain the more according to Rashi's second approach. He says, indeed, Rava's query pertains to normal tzoras. However, as explained in the Gemara above, the reason to consider that one pays full damages for normal tzoras and become muad, tzoras assigned the keren tam payment to tzoras. Right? That's a goal from after all. According to that reason, we would certainly not further reduce the payment for the first occurrence of abnormal tzoras to quarter damages. Why? Since the half payment of tzoras already represents the keren tam aspect. I don't get it, but if it's unusual, so it will be unusual of the keren tam. That Rava must have held then that we do not reduce the payment of abnormal tzoras to quarter damages. And he inquires whether the half damage payment of tzoros is a keren tam payment or not. Well, according to that, he's saying, what's the shayla? It can't be. But since he has a shayla, must be that there's no way it goes down to a quarter. So I just don't understand it. I don't understand. I even if you want to say it's like keren tam, why can't it go down to a quarter? Because it's an unusual case of keren tam. So he said, so I don't understand. I don't understand the logic. But he's saying, since you have this logic, he assumed that it could never go less than a half. To understand that side means it can't go less than a half. So let's prove it from there. Okay, I don't get the proof, but anyway, we knock out the proof anyway. And the Gemara says, even if you want to say that that's a proof somehow, but maybe Rava, when he asked his shayla, he did it as a, if you'll take one side of the coin. Dilma Rava in Tim Salomar Kamer. When Rava asked the Shaila, he was only asking the Shaila if you're assuming like one side, not assuming both sides. Meaning to say, when Rava asked the Shaila, he said, in Tim Salomar ain Shinui, if you hold that there is no change. Now, according to that side, then Yesha Ado Ein Ado, can there be, if there's no change from a half to a quarter, in other words, when it does it unusual, it doesn't change, could it go up to become a muad or not? But according to the other side that says that there is a change, there is no shayla taka. So his shayla was only assuming you hold one side of the coin. So we don't know what he really was holding, and therefore it's not a proof. Okay, how does Gemara resolve itself? teku. No answer to our shaila. So again, we're stuck with another shaila. We don't know if it does it in a different way. Does it pay quarter or not? It was resolved as a teku shaila, and it's not an answer. Okay. Next, one more shaila. One more shaila. Now, we're going to now move into sumchas. Every shaila now has been, according to the Rabbanan, who says you pay half and it never goes to whole, never whole. Now the Gemara is going to ask a shaila in sumchas. Boy Ravashi. Ravashi asks the following shaila. Koach, koach le sumchas, kekocho dami alo. Do we say that the force of a force, according to Simchas, is it considered like a force or not? For example, the animal is walking, it kicked the stone hits a second stone, and the second stone now flies in and shatters another vessel. So it comes out, the momentum from the first stone is the force of the animal, it hits another stone, now there's a momentum from the second stone, so we're going to call this koach kocho, the force of the force. So will he hold that the force of the force is like the force itself or not? Meaning to say, and would you still pay the full damage or not? That is the shiloh. Okay? What would he say about the not? Now, and that could now make a difference. In other words, if you say the force of the force is like the force, you still pay the full amount. He says you pay the full amount, right? So the question is, if the force of the force, you pay full, if the force of the force is not like the force, then what would you pay? Maybe half, right?
If it's not like the force, then why would you pay anything?
So let's see the shaila now. So what is the two sides of the coin? Mi gamar halacha, does he really hold there is a halacha l'moshe misinai, but he applies it in a different way? What does he mean? In other words, the rabbis learn the halacha l'moshe misinai is that the halacha l'moshe misinai is the tsroros is the force, but you only pay half. That's halacha l'moshe misinai. So does he say, you know, I agree there's halacha l'moshe misinai, and I agree there's halacha l'moshe misinai by force, but not by force, by the force of the force. And therefore, that's when you pay the half. In other words, we know the chachamim hold is halacha l'moshe misinai, by its roars, you pay half. Is it maybe Sumchus agrees there is halacha l'moshe misinai that you pay half, but it's only by the force of the force? Maybe he holds that's where the halacha l'moshe misinai fits in. O Dilma, or perhaps, Lo gamer halacha klal. He doesn't learn this halacha l'moshe misinai at all. And therefore, he would rule that we pay full damages even for the force of the force. Nothing more. And he says it's always the same. The force is like the force of the force. Pay full. Finished. Or maybe he says no. Maybe it's not like the force. And maybe that's where we say the halacha l'moshe misinai is there. Maybe that's when we plug in the halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, of course, you could say there's a third option, that maybe you pay nothing. Gemara is not entertaining that option right now. Because just like there's halacha l'moshe misinai, so he could say halacha l'moshe misinai is saying this, that the force of the force is not exactly like the force, just like the halacha l'moshe misinai says the force is not exactly like the animal's body itself either. The chachamim say the halacha l'moshe misinai is saying, Let's get it clear. The rabbis are saying the force of an animal is not like the animal itself. The animal itself pays whole. Force the animal pays half. What? That's halacha l'moshe misinai. If you didn't have the halacha l'moshe misinai, you figure it might pay the whole thing. Halacha l'moshe misinai, the force only pays half. So now with Sumchas, who says, listen, the force of an animal pays full. There's no halacha l'moshe misinai on that. That clearly is saying on that. Force is like the animal itself. So maybe the force of the force, according to him, will be treated like the force, the way the Chachamim treat the force, halacha l'moshe misinai. Right? Just like the rabbis say, the force, although it's not exactly animal, but it pays half, that's halacha l'moshe misinai. So even though Sumchus doesn't hold that the force is different than the actual body damage, but he could hold that the force of the force is one step removed, and that would pay the half, in one step away than what the Chachamim made you pay half only by force.
Right.
Maybe that's what he says. Or he says, no, there ain't no locomotion. See, I'm finished. And the force. You're always paying everything. Finished. That's what's from the animal. It's the animal. Okay, with the animal, you got to pay it all. It's interesting. We're declaring a Shaila in Simbolus, even though we don't all like him. But the rabbis discuss there are certain things you could come out from that anyway. So Teiko, the matter is left unresolved.
Does it make sense?
Also, the matter is unresolved. Okay.
Wait, does it make sense the halacha from Moshe or Sam, whatever, would be the force of the force? I mean, I can understand.
Depends.
There's confusion, the force of the animal. Fine, that's more normal, but to go to such an extreme that the force...
If you held the force is just like the animal, then the halakha mishnah has to tell me something else.
So why is it unresolved? Because they don't agree?
They don't know.
They
got no proofs, they got no answers. It wasn't just
a stretch, that's all.
Okay, well, I've got a little time, let's start the next sugya. Go back to our Mishnah now. We're finished with, well, this next sugya kind of dovetails this sugya a little bit. Because we're not exactly, so it comes at the end of the day. We don't really know what Sumchus holds about the halacha of Moshe Mishnah at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if he doesn't hold of it at all, then even the force is the force you pay full amount. He's always full amount. He doesn't make any differences here.
He has no tradition.
That there's halacha
like that we hold.
He has no tradition. He says, I don't have such a tradition. I don't have a tradition. My rabbi's never taught it to me. There is no halacha l'moshe mishnah like that. Or we say he says there is a tradition, but he has a little modified version of the tradition, right? So we're not sure what he will hold by koach kocho. So we're not sure about that. So now, this will also now play into going back to our Mishnah and trying to understand the Mishnah. Now, let's go back to our Mishnah. Well, really, the Gemara gives a number of examples of regel. So if we go back to our Mishnah, where if we look in our notes, today really needed the board today. But anyway... I know we're becoming learning disabled because I don't have a thing. How can I learn without this? Way back in the beginning of this Mishnah, there are a number of statements, and the Mishnah combined two statements. And the way we learned it is that if it's kicking utensils, it pays half, and if pebbles are strewn, it pays half. Right? Well, that's the way we learned it when we learned the Mishnah. But now we're going to look at the exact words of the Mishnah, and it's not exactly 100% clear what the Mishnah means when it says these words. Take a look and you'll see what's going on over here. We're now paraphrasing the Mishnah. Let's look at the exact words of the Mishnah. Hoysa miva'etes. The animal was kicking. O shahoyu tsroros mintatsim mitachas raglel. Or there were pebbles being kicked from under its feet. Vishavar sakalim, and it breaks the utensils. Mishalim chatzadas, you pay half damage. Now, when we learned the Mishnah, we learned it one way, the simple way. Gemara is now saying there really are two ways to understand this line. Because remember, this Mishnah is saying ketzer regel. How does a regel pay? So first says, well, it walks in a normal way, it damages via walking in a normal way. Then it starts giving examples. So now it's talking about regel. So what does it say? If it's kicking, or stones get kicked, pebbles get kicked off, you pay half. Now how are we going to learn this? So let's just do it inside the Gemara. You'll see what the problem is. The Gemara has the following shaila. Hey, Chikomer, what does the Tana mean to say when he's taking two clauses? Remember, he took two clauses and applied a law to it. He says, clause one, it's kicking. Clause two, or it's kicking up pebbles under his feet. Utensils are broken, you pay half damage. So now, what did the Gemara Mishnah exactly mean? Does it mean the following? Does it mean, Hoysa miva'etes vehezika bebi'uta? It was kicking, and it kicked. It's kicking inflicted a direct damage. That's why I taught it to you the first time. Or a different case is shoras kerchayu, normal pebbles by the normal walking that kicked up. Mishalim chapsi nasik, you pay half damage. That's the way I taught it to you the first time. And how does that fit in? V'rabbanan hi, and that goes according to the Rabbanan. In other words, there's two separate cases. Case number one is it's kicking. What kind of kicking? A regular kicking. It just kicks it. Okay, why do you pay half for that? Because that's Karen Tom. Or it was normally walking, kicked up some pebbles, you pay half, because that's Sroros. According to the Rabbanan, you pay half. And that's the way I taught it to you the first time. But not, how would Simchus learn this Mishnah?
Half for one or four for the other.
Okay, let's try to figure out how would Simchus learn this Mishnah. Oh, Dilma, or maybe the Mishnah is like this. Hoysa miva'etes, it was kicking. And let's add a little clause over here. It's kicking, and what kind of kicking? And the kicking, vehezika bibiuta. It was kicking and inflict a damage with her kicking, right? Oh, or tsroros machmas biut. Or it's tsroros from the kicking. Mm. In other words, it was always tsroros. Mm-hmm. And you pay the half damages. Mm-hmm. In other words,
the
Mishnah says it was kicking,
right,
or pebbles got flying out.
Right.
But we don't know how the pebbles were flying out.
Yeah, if it's normal walking.
It didn't say if it flew. The wording of the Mishnah just says pebble it kicked, or pebbles flew out from under its feet.
Right.
So does it mean it was kicking, or pebbles were going out in the normal way it walks? Or does it mean it was kicking, or pebbles came from kicking
as a result of the kicking,
and then it damaged something? In other words, the second case of pebbles, was it just normal walking pebbles that did it, or was it malicious kicking of a pebble that broke something? Okay. So let's, and then the second case, the second way of learning is, you're paying half payment, which would imply, that's half payment, that's telling me, it's an unusual type, because really, what does that become? It's no different than Karen Tom. Just another case of Karen Tom, paying half. But wait a minute, but if that's the case of choice by malicious kicking, what's the implication by normal kicking? Pay whole, because Mishnah didn't say that case. Huh, ki or chai. But what if it kicked the pebbles in the normal fashion? The implication is nesek shalem. You pay a full amount. Now, whose opinion would that be like? Umani, and who would that be? Simchasi. That would be according to Simchas. Because the Mishnah is saying you pay half for kicking, which is a case of Tarentam. Even if the kicking damages indirectly, you're still paying half. So in other words, the real question is, when the Mishnah says, or if pebbles were shooting forth from under its feet, is it a brand new case of normal Tsroros, or is it a continuation of the kicking of the Mishnah and giving you another scenario of kicking? Yeah. In other words, the Mishnah is not clear. The Mishnah says, if the animal kicked, that's for sure, the first case is absolutely clear, kicked, and for sure you're paying his care and Tom, that's for sure. But then it says, or if pebbles shot out from it and damaged. So is it an entirely separate case where it has nothing to do with Karen Tom at all? It's good old-fashioned Sroros of regular you pay half. Or is it, no, pebbles came out because it was kicking like Karen Tom, and it still has the same status of paying the half damage. That's the two ways to understand the Mishnah. And the difference would be, is the Mishnah going according to the rabbis, or is it going like Sumchus? That's the Shiloh Moraz. You hear the Shiloh? When it says that the pebbles are flying, I mean, on the one hand, you know, it's unusual to say we have two cases and one is so different than the other. One is a case of Karen Tom, and then all of a sudden another case is Sroros. Do you want to say that's what it is? Or maybe you know better. They're both cases of kicking. And it's kicking, straight kicking. Then it was kicking and kicking up pebbles. The baby's going to come in here in 1 second. Matter of fact. You know, we're going to finish in 1 minute. They're going to come in here. They don't need the keys off. They're going to come in here. So that's the Shiloh of the Mishnah. Are you going to say that the Karen, that it's talking about kicking straight through, and kicking, even kicking maliciously the pebbles, and kicking this to the pebble, they still pay half, but implying if it's normally, then you pay whole like Sumchus or not? That's the two ways to learn the Mishnah. And we'll continue that.